Welcome to the Fifth Quarter Podcast. My name's Rick Samprin. The preseason is done, and now we discuss how it went and what the 2023 campaign will bring. The Fifth Quarter Podcast begins now.
We've been talking Tiger Cats football for over 50 years. Welcome to the Fifth Quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Hello, football fans in Hamilton from coast to coast and around the world. This is the Fifth Quarter. It's brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with you. Well, we're not in a similarly celebratory mood like we were last year after the Tiger Cats dispatched of the Toronto Argonauts, but despite a 25-22 loss against the Montreal Alouettes tonight in La Belle Provence, it is still, I think, a happy time in Tiger Town, because we know that the start of the 2023 CFL season is right around the corner. In fact, one week from tonight, we could be celebrating, fingers crossed, a season opening victory in Winnipeg. Wouldn't that be nice? We're going to take your calls, your emails, your tweets, your texts about your thoughts, not only on tonight's game, which I'm sure not many of you actually saw, but probably listen to. But more importantly, what you are thinking about when it comes to this 2023 team. Now, we don't know what exactly it looks like right now. We have a pretty good idea, but final cuts will be announced tomorrow morning. And I want to get a sense from you on what your expectations of this team are. Is it Grey Cup or bust? Is it at least win the division and get to the big game? You know, and Andy Fantuz just mentioned on Ticats postgame, host the East Final. Is that the least or the lowest accomplishment you would consider to be a win in 2023? 905-645-3221, star 9900 on your cellular device. You can email your thoughts on today's game, on the 2023 season. Vote for your player of the game as well, rick@900chml.com. We are on Twitter at AM900CHML, as well as at Rick Samprin. Also broadcasting live on CHML's Facebook page as well. You can go there to say hello and provide some commentary. And send me a text at 905-645-3221. A lot of ways for you to offer your input on what we saw and heard and the 2023 campaign. Just some quick thoughts before I get to the phones from myself. Number one, no TV tonight. That was the case last week, but I think many Ticats fans had the benefits of actually going to the game at Tim Hortons Field. Tonight's game being in Montreal, it was not on TV unless you had RDS. So it wasn't on TSN. It wasn't even on the CFL website, because this was an RDS exclusive property, if you will. So I'll be honest, I did not watch a second of the game. I don't have RDS. And I wasn't about to subscribe to something just to watch one game, as important as it was, even though it's only the preseason. Listen to the action here on 900 CHML on the Ticats audio network and got a pretty good sense of how the game went. And, you know, there were some things that I liked. Matthew Schultz, not only his opening run of 51 yards, but I think he found a little bit of rhythm. He showed that he is the backup quarterback on this team without question. And if, again, I'm knocking on wood here, if Bo Levi Mitchell has to take a week off or gets, you know, black and bumped and bruised, then I'm confident, and I believe this coaching staff and this team is confident, that Matthew Schultz can hop on in, as he did last year, and win some ball games. So I think we saw a little bit of that tonight, and I think he played pretty well. In fact, his final stats look pretty darn good. I mean, in one half of play, he was 12 of 16, 162 yards, and two touchdowns. And in his only run of the game, he ran for 51 yards, which set up the game's opening field goal. But the Ticats end up losing 25-22. Player of the game for me is Terry Godwin. I thought he showed well again. I thought he played pretty good last week and even better this week. Three catches for 77 receiving yards. That was a game high, that 77 receiving yard stat. And one touchdown for Terry Godwin. I'm penciling him in at this point. And we can go through the roster later on in the fifth quarter, but I'm penciling Terry Godwin in as a potential major contributor on this offense. And if he can do what he did tonight on a more consistent basis with a little more exposure with Bo Levi throwing him the football, I think this could be a pretty good year for him. Not to say he's going to be an all-star, but I like what I saw tonight, or at least I like what I heard tonight. There is some bad news to pass along for this Ticats team, and if you did not hear the news yesterday, Justin McGriff suffered a freak off-field injury and is likely to miss most, if not the entire season. So for a guy who was showing well in training camp and was showing a lot of promise, is not going to be able to take the field for the bulk, if not the entire part of this 2023 campaign. We're also going to get your 2023 Ticats predictions, and I kind of referenced this off the top. What do you think you're going to see from this team? How many wins do you think this team gets? Is it truly a Grey Cup-worthy roster that you're seeing right now? And what player are you most looking forward to seeing in 2023? You can offer your thoughts on that in a variety of ways. You can call us at 905-645-3221. Or *9900 on your cell phone. You can email Rick at 900CHML.com. Send me a text at 905-645-3221. On Twitter, at Rick Samprin, or at AM900CHML. Or, yes, there's yet another option. You can go to CHML's Facebook page and tell me what you think. All right, let's go to the phones. And first off the hop is Mark, who's called in and has been waiting patiently here on the fifth quarter. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good. How are you, Rick?
I'm okay. What'd you think of tonight's game?
Well, I wasn't too concerned with the result since probably like a quarter of the team's going to be working at Kinko's on Monday morning.
Maybe, yeah.
But I was impressed. I even took notes, man. I even took notes.
Okay, what did you jot down?
So Schiltz, he's definitely entrenched himself as the backup. The guy took a beating, and he showed well for the half of football that he played. I also like Godwin the second. He impressed me. Maybe he can take the place of McGriff that was injured. I look at these notes and I see like the second and junior. It's like the 1800s British monarchy here with the seconds and juniors and all that kind of stuff. Also the penalties. There was a point in the second quarter where there was like 8 penalties in a row. Sure, maybe they were warranted, but it's the same old thing every year with the penalties. I don't know.
Yeah, they took 12 penalties tonight for 110 yards. That is an entire football field worth of penalties.
It's ridiculous. It seems, and of course, Prue was the ref, right? Hamilton's nemesis.
Yes. So. By the way, Montreal had 7 penalties for 54 yards, so about half.
Right. And I was lucky I have RDS, but I tried to sync the radio broadcast with the French language, and it just didn't work. So I still got to see and hear everything, so it's still good.
Well, that's good. So who would be your player of the game?
Gallimore. That guy, he's going to take pressure off Lawrence Woods the third as the kick returner, and also he looks like he can be a receiver as well. So.
Yet another solid night for sure. So let me get some predictions for you. Is this a Grey Cup or bust team? Do you think they're capable of winning it all? And who are you most looking forward to watching in 2023?
So I've been going to games since 1982, and I'm a starved championship Hamiltonian. It has to be a Grey Cup or bust. It's at home again. They were a missed catch from winning 2 years ago. They have to win the cup on home field this year, or else it's bust, or it's got to be a bust. And I'm looking forward to seeing Bo Levi Mitchell stay healthy. He looked good last week in his limited playing time. If he can stay healthy and everything else comes into place, then I think that we will be okay. I just have two more points to make, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
The offensive line tonight did not look good. I know half of them weren't starters, but Schiltz took a beating in the first half. And second, where is Seth Small?
Well, I can answer that. Seth Small is still at home with his wife and newly born baby, and I am told, and I asked head coach Orlando Steinauer not too long ago, that very question, what's up with Seth? So everything is fine with mom and baby. I'm guessing this coaching staff, and Owen in particular, has been extremely patient and lenient to say, all right, take care of what you got to take care of on the home front. You'll have your job when we come back. And I think that is what is going to transpire.
So he's still under contract, and it's not anything.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's not going to the NFL. He's not signed with an XFL team. He's still a Tiger Cat.
Okay, awesome. So I have to say, before I let you go, my player of the game was Matthew Schultz.
Okay, Matthew Schultz, I'll mark that down. Mark, I appreciate the call. Thanks for joining us, and don't be a stranger.
Great. Thank you very much.
Mark is, I got to say, he's diligent, taking notes, number of points. He originally picked Gallimore for player of the game, but I will gladly change that to Matthew Schultz, who I think had a very strong game. 12 of 16, 162 passing yards, couple of TDs, a great great run to set up the opening score of the game, that field goal that had the Ticats up 3-0 early on. But it was Montreal going away with a 25-22 win over the Tiger Cats after Hamilton beat Toronto last week, 27-22. There was three other games this week in the CFL preseason. Saskatchewan and Winnipeg also playing tonight. That game was actually on TV. The Rough Riders beating the Blue Bombers 28-16. Yesterday, there was a couple of games, BC over Calgary 25-22, and Ottawa dumped Toronto 34-23. What are your thoughts on today's game? And I'm more interested because there were so many backups that were playing tonight for Hamilton that, you know, this was really not a true test of what this team is capable of doing. I mean, you name the star or the starter, and they were probably not suiting up tonight. Whether it was Bo Levi Mitchell, Simone Lawrence, Jameer Thurman, Ted Laurent, Dylan Wynn. I mean, you name the starter. They weren't it. Tim White, another guy. James Butler, you get the picture. A lot of starters not playing tonight. So not a true reflection of what this team's all about. But, you know, a meaningful game for those who were participating in it, because this was the final chance after a two-and-a-half-week training camp to show the Tiger Cats coaching staff and the front office that, listen, I belong in the Canadian Football League. I've earned a spot on this team. There's not a lot of spots, not a lot of available spots on this team, especially at that starter's position. You know, you're going to look at the roster when the final cuts are made tomorrow, and you're going to think, yeah, that's kind of what I thought this team was going to look like when they line up for game number one, June 9th in Winnipeg. Your thoughts on tonight's game, 905-645-3221, *9900 on your cell phone. Vote for your player of the game. You can do so with those phone numbers or send me a text at 905-645-3221. Email rick@900chml.com. In the Twitterverse, at Rick Zamprin, at AM900CHML. I got some tweets coming in. And you can also go on to CHML's Facebook page. We're broadcasting live there as well. When you look at the schedule, we're also asking you, what are your predictions for 2023? How many wins do you think this team is going to get? I've gone on record, and you heard it last week. You heard it when I first announced it on May 26th. I think this Ticats team is going to win the Grey Cup, and I know some of you are probably chuckling at that because they haven't done it since 99. We've seen them play in this big game a handful of times, and something's always gone awry, whether it was running into a buzzsaw on the Rough Riders in 2013 or, you know, the flag at the end of the game in BC against Bo Levi and the Calgary Stampeders. We're still smarting. That could have been an iconic ending with Brandon Banks returning a potentially Grey Cup winning punt return for a score, but didn't happen. The back-to-backs against Winnipeg, you know, they've had their chances, and hosting again like they did a couple of years ago, this is a huge opportunity for this team. I was talking to Luke Tasker on Good Morning Hamilton earlier today, and I asked him, you know, with Hamilton hosting the Grey Cup, with them having a really good roster, is there more pressure? Because there's always pressure on a football team to win and win the championship trophy. But is there more pressure on this year's Ticats team, knowing that they are hosting, and knowing that the window, we don't quite know how open the Grey Cup window is for this team. You can make a case for a handful of teams in the Canadian Football League. Their window to win a title is open. How open it is, well, it depends on the talent of each and every team. You know, you look at a team like Winnipeg, and you would say, that's still pretty wide open. You go over to a team like Montreal, and you're thinking, not sure if it's even open at all. But this for this Ticats team, the pressure, I think, is on. And Luke kind of agreed with that, that, listen, whenever you're hosting a Grey Cup, you're trying to build up to that season to try to ensure you're in that game. There's no guarantee. There's never a guarantee you're going to play in that game. But you go into the offseason knowing that, all right, we're hosting the big game. How are we going to get there? What do we have to do in the offseason to, you know, inflate the talent level? And I think this Ticats team, the front office, has done a really good job of, you know, replacing some of the guys who have left, bringing in some new guys who were unknown when they first signed, and, you know, chugging forward to game number one. I kind of like what I see. So apart from the Grey Cup victory prediction, which some of you might say, all right, that's pie in the sky, Zamp, and I'm not going to agree or disagree with you. That's just the gut feeling that I have. I think this team at least wins 11 games. At least 11-7. You know, I'm going through the schedule. I'm thinking, well, that's a win, that's a win, that's a win. Well, that's probably a loss. Oh, that's more than likely a win. And I got to at least 11-7. I could have been generous and said 12-6. But 11-7, I think, is a realistic win-loss record for this team, given the talent level on paper. As we know, what's on paper doesn't always translate into execution on the field. You can have the best team on paper, and, you know, well, if they don't perform on game day, you're not going to get that W. 905-645-3221, *9900 on your cell. Your thoughts on today's game. Vote for your player of the game. I want to get your predictions for this 2023 season. Do you think this Ticats team has what it takes to go all the way and win the Grey Cup? Because at the end of the day, that's what we want to see. We haven't seen it since 99, for crying out loud. The longest by far, by the way, the longest by far Grey Cup drought, current Grey Cup drought, in the Canadian Football League. Send me a text, 905-645-3221. On email, rick@900chml.com. Got some good emails that we'll get to after the break here. On the fifth quarter, it is powered by Eastgate Ford on 900CHML.
It's where Ticats fans come together. This is the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900CHML.
Three receivers to the left of Matt Schultz. Play action, he drops back to pass again. He's under pressure. He runs, and he's got a lot of running room. He's across midfield to the 50, the 45, the 40, the 35, the 30. He's got some blocking help ahead of him. Down to the 15, and just short of the 10, a huge run by Matt Schultz.
Welcome back to the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900CHML. Matthew Schultz with a big 51-yard run, his only rush of the ball game, by the way, in a losing effort, 25-22. Hamilton loses to Montreal in preseason game 2 of 2 as the Ticats beat Toronto in week one of the exhibition schedule and fall to Montreal, and now get set for the two-time West Division champion Winnipeg Blue Bombers as a part of the three-time Western Division champs in Winnipeg. And a week from tonight, they will be in the peg taking on the Bombers and trying to secure a season-opening win, which, by the way, I think the Ticats could win that ball game. I mean, they could win every ball game. They're not going to go 18-0, but each and every day, I think there's an opportunity, especially in the CFL, for one team to beat another. And what's to say that this Ticats team can't go into Winnipeg and win that game? I say it's possible. I'd say it's going to happen. I'm not going to guarantee that because I can't possibly do so. But I think they got a pretty good shot. Got a pretty good shot. We're talking about tonight's game at 905-645-3221, *9900 on your cell phone. Call in and offer your thoughts on the game and your predictions for the 2023 season. This is your opportunity to tell me what you think this team is capable of doing. Is it Grey Cup or bust? You just see this team fizzling out sometime in the playoffs. Will they underachieve and not even make the playoffs? My gosh, I can't believe anyone would even think that. Send me an email, rick@900chml.com. How many wins do you think this team has at the end of the regular season? I'm saying at least 11. Anything short of 11, even if it's 10, I'm thinking, I think we underachieved. There's no way this team can only be two games over 500. And who are you most looking forward to seeing in 2023? Send me an email, rick@900chml.com. On text, 905-645-3221. And you can also go onto our Twitter feed, at Rick Zamprin, or at AM900CHML. We're also on CHML's Facebook page. You can chime in there with a comment or two. Email from Alan. Hey, Rick, it's Alan from St. Catharines. Well, it was a close one, but we couldn't finish it and win it. Hoping the coaching staff have seen enough and who they want to cut, have some big decisions to make. I really like Godwin, Gallimore, and Sindani. We will see what happens. Schiltz overthrew the receivers a few times, and I hope he can fix that come the regular season, hoping Taylor Powell stays. He did force it in tight coverage, and the receiver was picked off, but I like his style of play. For a game where 28 players or so were not playing, and most of them are probably going to be part of that 46-player roster, I thought the game was all right. We will see who they cut in the next few days. Also, I really like Teyon Fleet-Davis, but where was Canadian running back Keon Edwards? Did he even play? Maybe I missed him. Can't wait for the start of the season. Go Cats, go. Alan. So Alan brings up a number of points, and maybe I'll tackle them in reverse. Keon Edwards was on the roster. He was labeled on the roster today. I did not notice him, and he did not run the ball, did not complete a special teams tackle. So, listen, if he was on the field, I didn't notice him. Teyon Fleet-Davis, however, I think many people have noticed him over the last couple of weeks. And especially tonight, where he had a game-high 7 rush attempts for 25 yards. His longest run of the night was 7 yards. A guy who has a little bit of a bigger body, I think, can be an effective blocker in the backfield. And a guy in those goal line situations who could find himself in the backfield from time to time and maybe even get a couple of touches. If not, he'd be a nice decoy because I think teams will hone in on him to say, okay, he's probably going to get the ball, and the Ticats could do something a little different. In regards to Alan mentions Taylor Powell. Now, that Taylor was good in game one. I thought he took a little bit of a step back here tonight. 9 of 15, 122 passing yards, 1 interception. And, you know, again, I know he's got a lot more second, third, maybe even fourth kind of unit guys here when it comes to the talent level compared to the stars who are going to play this game. And he's going up against, you know, the Montreal defense that, I mean, we're not going to see that defense this year. Those guys are either not going to make the team or they'll play some special teams or they'll be on the practice roster. And so I was expecting a little bit more from Powell, and, well, this Ticats team could muster was a punt single, the only point of the third quarter, and a field goal in the second half. They scored 4 points in the second half, and that certainly is not going to do it. And you will recall, especially at the start of the season last year, the third quarter and the second half in general was just not good. So, yeah, let's hope they nip that in the bud really quick. And they come out against Winnipeg and play a full football game, top to bottom. But Taylor Powell will be interesting. That might be a guy who lands on the practice roster if the coaching staff says, you know, we see something in this guy and we want to keep him around for a little bit. You know, Jamie Newman is the other option. He's on the suspended list. We haven't seen him this spring, so it'll be interesting to see what the Ticats do at the quarterback position. We know that Mitchell's number one. We definitely know Schiltz is number two based on what he did tonight and what he did all of last season. I think he's earned that number two position on the depth chart at the quarterback position. When it comes to three and potentially four on the practice roster, Powell, you know, you can make an argument he's done enough this spring to convince the Ticats coaching staff to at least keep him on the PR. We shall see. Allen also mentioned Schiltz kind of overthrowing some receivers. And, hey, I mean, that's what the preseason's for. I know they've had training camp, and I know they run these plays at nauseam at times at McMaster University. But I, you know, I liked more than what I disliked out of Schiltz tonight. I thought he was pretty good. And as far as Godwin, Gallimore, and Sindani, they've all been, for me, big pluses in this preseason. Gallimore has been really good on the returns. Of course, had the 84-yard punt return for a TD last year. Sindani, two games, two TDs. This is Richie TD Sindani, apparently. And Godwin, you know, he was okay last week in limited action. I thought he was better than okay this week. He was really good. He's actually my player of the game this week. And so, you know, Allen hitting on a couple of different points here, and I think that they got some big decisions to make with cutdown day being tomorrow. I think the flight home, they're going to huddle together and say, all right, where are we going with this? Of course, they got to be mindful of the ratio. They have to be mindful of, you know, if one guy goes down with an injury or whatever, you know, poor play, you know, what are our options? How are the dominoes going to fall? And that is, well, that's the beauty, and that's also the curse of the Canadian Football League roster. There's a lot more variables to play with in comparison to the National Football League, where you just have a team, and yeah, you have a taxi squad or a practice roster, but there's no, you know, national and international or global players. You just have your roster. And so this Ticats team, again, will have some decisions to make. I'm sure they're on the plane, or at least getting to it, and they're already making some of those evaluations and final decisions going forward and debating them amongst themselves. Send me an email, rick@900chml.com, on your thoughts on tonight's game. Vote for your player of the game. Give me your sense of this 2023 Ticats team. What's your prediction for this team? Is it Grey Cup or bust? How many wins do you think this team is capable of here in 2023? And what one player are you most looking forward to watching in 2023? Send me a text at 905-645-3221 on Twitter at Rick Samprin or at AM900CHML, and we're also on CHML's Facebook page. And let's go there now. Karen has just sent in a message on CHML's Facebook page saying, listening to Ticats broadcast while watching RDS, totally not in sync. Ticats were at least 15 seconds ahead of RDS. Weird, but we listened. Schiltz will be okay. Gallimore could be the next breakout returner. Can't wait to watch games that count. Yes, I am with you, especially on that last point. Can't wait to watch games that count, because it has been, well, it was a long off season, and I know the preseason serves a purpose, right? Players are trying to earn their stripes, trying to earn their place on a roster, and that's what they tried to do tonight. They were given another chance to do it. Some guys proved they belonged definitively. Some guys proved that they're just not ready yet for the Canadian Football League, and who knows, maybe never will be. Or maybe they will in a few years. And some guys who are in that middle, they're in that middle. They weren't exceptional, and they weren't poor, but they have made the coaching staff think about, you know, what if? You know, what if we brought this guy onto the roster, or what if we put him on the PR? I mean, he showed us some stuff, and we don't want to lose him. We certainly don't want to lose him to another team. I think there's a handful of players in the preseason and in training camp that have potentially convinced this team that they should stick around for at least a few more weeks and see what they can do. Richard on Twitter, he sent me a note at Rick Samprin. Richard writes, I look forward to seeing Lawrence Woods on defense and returns and believe our running game will be tough to stop all game long. Losing a few receivers is tough, but with Bo and Schiltz, Grey Cup Championship is our destiny this year. Richard and I are on the same wavelength. It sounds like it. In my gut, and I'll be frank, and I'll be 100% honest, when the Ticats last hosted the Grey Cup a couple of years ago, I had the same feeling. This team is hosting the Grey Cup. They hadn't won in a while. You know, the roster looked good. I thought they had some good momentum going into that season, even coming off, you know, the COVID last year. And, yeah, they get to the game, and, you know, they lose in overtime. And I hope there isn't that kind of heartbreak come November 19th, especially if this team is in the game. If they're in the game, man, they better win. Because I don't think we can take another loss, especially at home in the championship game. Aaron says, my vote definitely isn't for CFL Plus. I guess in his voting for player of the game, it's not CFL Plus. And that's obviously the online version of the Canadian Football League broadcast, in which I'll give the league credit. You know, during the preseason, at least they made some games available on their website. And I thought, okay, that's a plus. They don't want to broadcast every game. I know there's a cost to do so. At least make it available to fans to consume. And tonight, unless you had RDS, you could not watch the game. 905-645-3221, star 9900. Those are the numbers to call in to talk about tonight's game, talk about this season, and give me your player of the game votes. We've got a couple of votes for Godwin, one for Schiltz, a kind of sort of vote for Gallimore, even though that Mark, our first caller, voted for Gallimore off the top. He changed it to Schiltz, so I'm going to give a vote to each of those guys because I thought they were pretty good. Head over to our Facebook page. You can watch the show and comment on the game and on the season. You can also do so on Twitter at AM900CHML, at Rick Samprin. Send me an email, rick@900CHML.com. I got a great couple of emails from Randy that'll bring to you after the break here. You're listening to The Fifth Quarter. It's driven by Eastgate Ford on 900CHML.
We're talking Ticats football. This is The Fifth Quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Tiger Cats on the Montreal 10, first and goal. Trailing the game 7-4, trying to get the lead back. Schiltz throws over the middle. It's caught. Touchdown, Tiger Cats. And it's Richie Sandani. He's turning into a touchdown machine for Hamilton.
He certainly is. Two games, two TDs for the former Calgary Stampeder. Last week caught a beautiful pass from Bo Levi Mitchell to open up the scoring for the Tiger Cats. And tonight catches another TD, this time from backup quarterback Matt Schiltz. But the Tiger Cats fall 25-22 at the hands of the Montreal Alouettes to wrap up the preseason with one win and one loss. And it's off to Winnipeg 1 week from tonight. The Tiger Cats and Blue Bombers will drop the gloves in games that start to count, where games will result in wins and losses that translate into points in the standings, and we really begin to debate how the potential of this Ticats team and how good this Ticats team can be in 2023. And that's one of the questions I'm asking you at 905-645-3221, star 9900 on your cell phone. You can also text 905-645-3221. What are your expectations of this Ticats team? Is it Grey Cup or bust? How many wins do you think this team is going to have? Are they going to live up to the hype? There's been a lot of hype over the offseason, especially with signings like Bo Levi, that have a lot of people thinking this team can propel itself into the Grey Cup title game once again. I'm saying at least 11 wins, and my gut's telling me this Ticats team's going to win the whole thing. November 19th, under a nice snowfall on a somewhat mild November night, the Ticats are going to win the title. Does that sound too far-fetched? Is there something in my coffee? Even though I have water tonight. 905-645-3221. You can call, you can text, star 9900 on your cell phone. Email rick@900chml.com. I have a great couple of emails from Randy that I'm going to get to in just a couple of minutes. We're on CHML's Facebook page as well. You can check us out there and offer your thoughts on tonight's game. Vote for your player of the game. And we're on Twitter, as usual, at AM900CHML or at Rick Samprin. A tweet coming in from Alan. I predict the season is at least 11-7 or better, and we win the cup in Hamilton with Bo Levi Mitchell. Oh, I'd love to know, Alan, are we beating Calgary in the Grey Cup? Because I think that would be amazing, wouldn't it? I mean, the storylines are writing itself already. Grey Cup in Hamilton, the 110th edition. Ticats haven't won since 1999. Bo Levi leading the charge. The Stampeders representing the West. It would be like 98-99 kind of all over again, although at a very different venue. Wouldn't that be something? I'm not sure if it's going to materialize, but would that not be something? Hey, I'll take a victory over any team. BC Lions at the Grey Cup, Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Heck, put the Saskatchewan Roughriders in there. I don't care. The Edmonton Elks make a surprise run to the 2023 Grey Cup and get demolished by the Tiger Cats on November 19th. I'll take it. Heck, you want to put the Bad News Bears on the field? I'll take that too. 905-645-3221. *9900 on your cell phone. You can also text using the text line, 905-645-3221. All right, let's get to Randy's email. I've teed this up a couple of times. He makes some pretty good points here. Just read it during the commercial break, and here it is for you live here on the Fifth Quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford. Randy writes, "Good evening, Rick. I enjoyed a game listening on the Ticats Audio Network. A warm night for football. Too bad we had the loss. This one was evenly matched for most of the game. With preseason, it's difficult to think of what the season will hold. After listening to both games, I feel that players such as Gallimore, Terry Godwin, and Taylor Powell should be making this team. Their efforts have been well received. My player of the game is Terry Godwin, an excellent first half by Godwin. Honorable mention to Cathal Flowers-Lloyd, who was active throughout the game. Matthew Schiltz had a reasonable performance. With next week's season start, we need the reliable kicking of Seth Small. In some ways, I hope quarterback Jamie Newman remains with this team. So, with a fairly good showing in the preseason and a new start next Friday, it's barbecue time this weekend. The Cats needed to feast on Winnipeg next week and eat 'em raw. Have a great weekend, Rick, Randy in Oakville." Now, he sent me a part two, probably after hearing me say, "Hey, what are your predictions for 2023? So here's Randy again, part two, predictions. "Hi, Rick. I think the Cats can win at least 10 or 11 games and go to the playoffs. However, with the last few years, I'm careful in playoff predictions. The team needs to be very disciplined and gel together, Randy in Oakville." I think that is a more than fair statement. On both fronts. Number one, the Cats will win at least 10 or 11 games. I think at least 11. If you want to say at least 10, okay, I can buy that. Anything in double digits is good. You're in the playoffs. You're probably hosting a game. And in the wide open East, who knows? 10 might even win the division. I think 11 definitely gets you in the conversation. No doubt about it. 12, you are probably in first in the East. Getting that first round bye, hosting the East final, and one step away from the Grey Cup. And his second point on his predictions email is very true as well. You know, over the last few years, I'm careful in playoff predictions. Aren't we all with this Ticats team making it to the Grey Cup in a couple of instances, two out of the last 3 years? And in each and every of those playoff games, I think we're always hopeful and optimistic. We can never guarantee that they're going to win, but that's the nature of the playoffs. This is what makes football playoffs so intriguing. It's one game. It's one showcase. And if you have a bad day, your entire season goes down the toilet. Compare that to the NBA Finals are on, the National Hockey League Stanley Cup Final, the puck drops on that tomorrow. A best of seven series. You have a bad night in game one or game two or game three or game four, as long as you don't win all four of them, you can afford to have one bad game. You're trying to avoid that, obviously, but if you do, it's not the end. In football, it is. You lose that one game, that's it. 905-645-3221, *9900 on your cell. Your thoughts on tonight's game and your thoughts on the 2023 season. What are some of the projections and the predictions that are coming to mind? And again, I'm saying this team is winning the Grey Cup. I've already publicly announced that. Somehow, some way, they're going to find a way to get it done, finally, and end what is the league's current longest trophy drought, Grey Cup drought. And by the way, the next longest belongs to the Montreal Alouettes. They last won in 2010. So if the Ticats can finally figure it out this year, Montreal will hold the longest Grey Cup drought, which would be well, 13 years and counting if they continue to lose this year. And it's kind of interesting seeing that Hamilton played Montreal tonight. Email from Alan again. Hi, Rick. It's Alan again. I'm really looking forward to Bo Levi Mitchell and him doing it for Hamilton this year. He got injured in Calgary, and Jake Mayer came in and showed something to Calgary, and Bo was the odd man out. I think he has some life left in him, and he watched the Tiger Cats lose the Grey Cup in 2019, and he wants to come in and prove to the CFL and Calgary and everyone that he still has it. He had an amazing 10-year tenure with Calgary, but like he said earlier, he hasn't done nothing yet here, and he wants to bring the Cup to Hamilton and win it for the fans. He's come to Hamilton. He's showing leadership in the locker room, and I like what I see. Grey Cup or bust, and I think it's Grey Cup for us. Mitchell is on a mission. Mark my word. That email from Alan. So Alan, like me, convinced that this team has the tools to do it. Now it's just a matter of doing it. I know, easier said than done. Easier said than done. Oh, I love Alan's response on Twitter. This is a different Alan. I'm pretty sure it's a different Alan. You know, earlier on Twitter, he said, you know, at least 11-7 or better, and we'll win the Grey Cup in Hamilton with Bo Levi Mitchell. And then he comes back with, we're beating Calgary or Dane Evans in BC, LOL. Now, that would be an exceptional story. Oh, that would be an exceptional story. Ticats, Lions, Bo Levi versus Dane. My gosh. Forget the Calgary angle. I know that would be a great storyline. Ticats stamps in the Grey Cup, Mayer versus Mitchell. But it would be even more so for fans here in Hamilton. Even more of a wow if it was BC and Hamilton, November 19th. Tim Hortons Field, Grey Cup 110. Wow. Who's running that headline? Can I? That would be sensational. And this is all we can do right now is kind of contemplate how this season's going to go. And I think there's a lot of positives here. I think this team has a quarterback and a quarterback who has not only played well in this league, but has proven to be at the top of his game for most of his career. There's not a lot of quarterbacks that can say that. Especially over the last generation, you can probably count on one hand on the guys who week in and week out you knew if you were the opposition, you were going into that venue thinking, how are we going to beat these guys? I mean, we got to be at the top of our game. We can't make any mistakes, can't take the penalties, can't turn the ball over. If we do, we're toast. You know, year after year after year, Hamilton would go into places like Montreal, where Anthony Calvillo would eat up the Tiger Cats and really every other team that went into Percival Molson Stadium. We can say the same thing about Bo Levi in Calgary. I mean, he burned the Ticats and every other team in the league because he and that team were so good. And I mean, they're trying to replicate that here in Tiger Camp. And so we shall see, come 1 week from tonight, how this team stacks up against one of the best teams in the league in the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And again, we can say that because we've seen it from Winnipeg. This is not just a... You know, we see the roster on paper and they look good. They got the team that they pretty much had last year and they were pretty darn good. Actually, they were exceptional. And they could have won and probably would have won, should have won, the Grey Cup if not for, well, a subpar performance and, you know, a Toronto team that was ready to play and eager to win that game. And, you know, kudos to them for doing so. But 2023 is a new season and some new stars are going to emerge from the ashes in terms of the next superstar, the next all-star, the next major trophy winner from an individual standpoint. And from a team standpoint, the goal is to win that big darn gray shiny trophy at the end of the year. Your thoughts on tonight's game? Vote for your player of the game. And I want to know your thoughts, your predictions in 2023. What are you expecting from this Ticats team? Do they have the stuff of champions? How many wins do you think they're going to get? What's the one player you're most excited to see, most interested to see in 2023? 905-645-3221, star 9900 on your cell. Email rick at 900chml.com, on Twitter at Rick Samprin, at AM900CHML. And we're also on CHML's Facebook page. You can offer your thoughts there as well. This is the Fifth Quarter. It is powered by Eastgate Ford, and you are listening to 900 CHML.
Welcoming Ticats fans, young and old, you're listening to the Fifth Quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
So now the Tiger Cats down to the Montreal 20. Schiltz back to pass again.
To him. Yeah.
Throws to his left. It is a touchdown for the Tiger Cats. And yes, it's Terry Godwin.
Terry Godwin, 3 catches, 77 yards, 1 TD, as we welcome you back to the Fifth Quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML after Hamilton's 25-22 loss against the Montreal Alouettes tonight at Percival Molson Stadium in La Belle, Provence. Hamilton wrapping up the preseason with one win and one loss and chugging on to Winnipeg. Final roster decisions are being made, I'm sure, as we speak, on the flight home from Montreal. Those final roster cuts will be announced tomorrow morning. And we will know some of the names who are not going to be Ticats any longer. Some of those will end up on the practice roster. Up to 15 names can be added to the PR. That 46-man roster is going to be the guys that this team is going to go into Winnipeg with for game number one. Your thoughts on tonight's game, 905-645-3221. Vote for your player of the game. We got a couple of votes in for Godwin, Leandre Gallimore, and Matthew Schiltz. And most importantly, because this is really the only opportunity we're going to have, at least in this space, to talk about predictions for 2023. Because come next week when we're on the air with the Fifth Quarter, game number one is going to be in the bag. And we'll all reflect on that first game. But this is the time to talk about what you think this Ticats team is capable of. How good do you think this team is going to be? Or maybe you're on the other side of the equation entirely and thinking there's been so much hype and there's been so much stock put into this veteran team that there's a chance they might underperform and not get to double-digit wins, and maybe are an injury or two away from being one of those teams at the end of the year. You think, well, what happened? Is that kind of going through your mind? 905-645-3221 on the text line, or on CHML's Facebook page. You can offer your thoughts there as well. And on Twitter, at AM900CHML, at Rick Zamprin. Alan on Twitter says, hopefully we aren't seeing Evans versus Masoli on our turf come November. Oh, here we go. I didn't even think of that, but that could potentially happen. The cup seems to follow Jagera Davis, so we are in good hands this year. Go Cats go, hashtag Fifth Quarter. Alan, you're right on a couple of fronts. If it is Dane Evans and the BC Lions versus Jeremiah Masoli and the Ottawa Red Blacks in the 110th Grey Cup, November 19th, in Hamilton. Ticats fans would be livid. Would be livid. With a capital L. And a capital I and a capital V and a capital I and a capital D. Livid. Because you know what the commentary would be. We had these guys. And now they're leading their team to the Grey Cup, and now we have to watch them play on our turf and win the trophy that we desperately want in our trophy case once again. That is a fantastic point, Alan, and I can't bear the thought of having to go to the Grey Cup and see Dane Evans versus Jeremiah Masoli. Man. But you made a good point as well, and not much has been made about this since he re-signed with the Cats, because, you know, a lot of the news around Jagera Davis when he did say, all right, I'm going back to Hamilton, taking my talents back to Steeltown. Many Ticats fans thought, okay, I guess we're going to the Grey Cup then. Because all Jagera Davis does is go to the Grey Cup. He's done it 6 years in a row with three different teams. So, sure, I mean, there's other guys, other players involved on those teams who, you know, win ball games, and he happens to be on those teams, but that is a remarkable statistic. And if he were to make it 7 in a row, let's make it a lucky 7 for the guys in black and gold. That's what I say. What are your thoughts on this Ticats team? Your predictions for this team in 2023? I've already gone on record to say this team's going to do it. This team is finally going to end whatever curse you want to call it, and win the Grey Cup. They're going to at least win 11 games. This is what I'm predicting. At the very least, 11-7. I'm leaning 12-6. I just don't want to say that 12 number, because now you're getting into, you know, the territory where this team is a dominant powerhouse. And until they start playing those games, I'm not ready to say that. And you might be saying, well, you're predicting them to win the Grey Cup. But yeah, I mean, once the playoffs start and you win the East Division, you got to win one game and you're in the Grey Cup. So really, in the playoffs, you got to win two games to win the trophy. I think they're more than capable of doing that. But at least 11 wins. Let's go through the schedule together. If you don't envision 11 or even 12 wins. Game one in Winnipeg. All right, you want to give it to the Bombers? Go ahead. Go ahead and give it to Winnipeg. I think Hamilton could win that game, but all right. We'll say they're 1-0 out of the gate. No big surprise there. They're in Toronto for game number two. It's the Argos season opener because they get week one off. Lucky them. Let's call it a win. Ticats play well in Toronto. Let's call that a win. They're 1-1. Next two games at home. They're hosting Montreal. They're hosting Ottawa. I say they win both those games. They're right now 3-1 on the season. They're in Edmonton. When was the last time the Elks won a home game? Let's get the Ticats to 4-1. They're hosting Toronto in the next game. Week 7. Can we say 5-1? They're in Ottawa the following week. Okay, let's give the Red Blacks a win. They're at home. They're probably not going to win that game, but 5-2. Let's just say 5-2. They're 6-2 after beating Montreal the following week. You look at the teams, right? Winnipeg, Toronto twice, Ottawa twice, Montreal twice, Edmonton. Can you see 6-2? I'm seeing 6-2. They host Edmonton the following week. 7-2. They're in BC in week 12. All right, 7-3. That's going to be the Dane Evans revenge game, maybe. Unless Vernon Adams Jr. has caught a hot streak. So they're 7-3. Labor Day Classic. They're not losing that. They're 8-3 on Labor Day. You see where I'm going here? They're 8-3 on Labor Day. They're in Ottawa 4 days after Labor Day. All right, we'll give the Red Blacks another win. 8-4. They host Winnipeg. They rebound from the Red Blacks loss. They're 9-4. They go to Toronto. I hate to do it, but okay, the Argos win. They're 9-5. Ticats are 9-5 when they have the Bo Levi Mitchell revenge game when Calgary comes to town. They're 10-5 after that game. They go to Saskatchewan. It's October. It's probably 10 feet of snow. 10-6. They're 11-6 after they beat the BC Lions on Friday, October the 13th. Yeah, Friday, October the 13th. 11-6. And in a nothing game on October the 28th, Ticats rest a bunch of guys, and they're 11-7 after losing to Montreal. That's how I see the season playing out. Hey, if you want to mark all those wins and losses down and see how right or wrong, and probably I'm more wrong than right, go right ahead. Go right ahead. All right, time to anoint some winners here on the fifth quarter. All right, let's start with the big play of the game. We played the highlight earlier on in the show. Matthew Schultz, that 51-yard run all the way to the Montreal 12, setting up the first score of the game, a field goal for the Ticats, although they ended up losing tonight, 25-22. That is the big play of the game. How about the player of the game? What about you, the fans? Terry Godwin, 3 receptions, 77 receiving yards, and a touchdown grab. Terry Godwin, your player of the game. How about the fifth quarter fan of the night? Well, I think by default, now we have some options. You know, Alan has sent me a couple of emails tonight. Randy with a couple of emails tonight. A couple of tweets from a different Alan. But I'm going to go with a guy who started us off with a call. And, you know, surprisingly, the only call tonight. And that was Mark. Mark is going to be our fifth quarter fan of the night. I love all you guys and girls for tuning in, for contributing to the program, for listening each and every week. We're back 1 week from tonight, because 1 week from tonight, it starts for real. It's the Ticats. It's the Blue Bombers. Pre-game show here on CHML begins at 7:30. Kickoff is at 8:30, and we'll be on the air with the fifth quarter a half hour after the game ends. For producer Ben Strawn, my name's Rick Samprin. Thanks for listening to the fifth quarter. It's been driven by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Where Ticats fans come together, win or lose. Listen after every game to the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
The fifth quarter podcast is available on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and wherever you get your favorite podcast. I'm Rick Samprin. Thanks again for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. It's free, so you never miss an episode. And make sure you rate and review.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.